Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, another piece of legislation was torpedoed in the Senate, the Paycheck Fairness Act. Paycheck Fairness Act, what did that do? It would have made it more difficult for large companies to pay women less than men. Right now, you've seen all the statistics, and it depends on the industry and it depends on the woman, but basically women don't come close to earning 100% of what men make. Now, some people say, well, okay, but that's not true when women are considered and hired in positions that men are. For instance, starting lawyers, law firms don't pay women less than men when they start. In other words, if you're in the same line of work, you're going to be paid the same. That's true. However, there are categories of work that are predominantly female or predominantly male that do have large disparities. For instance, secretaries, predominantly female. I mean, grade school teachers, predominantly female, not exclusively, but I think a fairly high percentage. And then there are some that are predominantly male, construction workers, that kind of thing. So that's not to say that women and men can't apply for those respective positions, but they don't. So all the page, you know, the funny thing about this, the Republicans knife all this stuff. This one didn't mandate anything, didn't mandate any payments. What it did was required large corporations, it wasn't hitting small companies, to say of categories by gender, what is the average pay in each? And, what is the basis for that? It does not say you got to change it. Doesn't got to say you pay anybody anything. It basically does two things. Number one, it's information gathering. But number two, I think the thinking is that when large companies are forced to take a look at this and put it down on paper, it's going to result anyway in greater equity in pay. And that would be a very good thing. So, who voted against it? Basically, all the Republicans voted against it. Why do they do these things? I think they think that somehow their donors demand it and they have to do it. The truth of the matter is, their real donors, they attack corporations anyway all the time. Cruz does and everybody else on things like, voting rights. Like in Georgia, they attacked Delta Airlines, they attack Coca-Cola for coming out and saying that the Georgia bill was bad because it kept down African-American voting. Call them woke corporations. Down in Florida, DeSantis, the governor, attacks the cruise industry saying they're woke. It's one of the biggest industries in his state, cruise industry. They wanted vaccination passports. They wanted, if they're going to take somebody on board, whether it's crew or passenger, they want some proof they got vaccinated. I think that's pretty reasonable. He attacked them for being woke. And yet they turn around and vote on something like this and expect, okay, we can insult you on the one hand, but on the other hand, what, you're going to give us more money? The truth is a lot of these companies give the money anyway to them because they take a dive on things like taxes and so forth. And that this is their way of trying to pay back companies. I'm not convinced that large companies would not welcome this kind of an obligation. In other words, it forces an internal review. You can have HR do it. Give them something to do. What are the categories where there's overrepresentation of each gender, whether it be clerical staff or whatever? What's the average wage? And then conversely, what are some occupations that are very highly, or in some cases, almost exclusively male, and what is the average wage? And the idea is not to bring down one side's wages. The other one is to, the real objective is to raise the wages of women. And many women are single parents, some of them in principal wage earner. They're the ones that have to pay for childcare. It's expensive. They have to pay premiums for health care. They should be paid a fair wage, just like men. That's what should happen. Well, more drama in Green Bay, I'm sad to say. More drama in Green Bay. Had season tickets since 1988. I have the Milwaukee package. I used to have half the games. And then when they started to play all their games in Green Bay, remember back in the 80s, they played half their games in County Stadium. It was great. So now I only get two games and a preseason game. Total of three, but only two regular season games. But that's fine. Aaron Rodgers, one of the great quarterbacks in the franchise history, along with Brett Favre and Bart Starr, is pouting. He did not show up for mandatory minicamp yesterday. He didn't show up. They can fine him $90,000 or so a day for not being there, or they can waive it. Matt LaFleur was asked, did you waive it or did you fine him? He said, well, that's an internal matter. I suspect at this point, they probably gave him a conditional waiver or at least refrained from fining him right now. When he misses mandatory training camp, this is not just the mini camp. I think they have to fine him $50,000 a day, and it's not discretionary. Now, here are some of the theories. If he decides not to play at all, by doing it this way, they can collect some fines, recoup his some bonus money, and they're going to have to get around to getting another quarterback. Jordan Love, I mean, you know, I know what you know about him from reading the press. I don't know how he's going to do, and, you know, when he's handling live pitching, so to speak. They say that in politics. People give up and get up, and they give these speeches and have debates and prepare with their staff, but then they have to face live pitching, which means a debate on television with your actual opponent. And live pitching is different from batting practice pitching. And basically, Jordan Love has been facing batting practice pitching in the sense of the defense and all that. He wears a red shirt. They can't tackle him and so on. What happens when he's playing the Vikings, the Bears? What's going to happen? Pretty talented guy. I hope he can do it. I personally am afraid that Rodgers is not going to play. And the dispute is absolutely stupid. I mean, really stupid as hell. They pay him. They love him. He's late 30s. He has a couple more years. And when they drafted Jordan Love, they didn't call him in advance, apparently. And they say they should have. Fine. The problem is you start calling in advance what your strategy is, it can leak out. I'm not saying Rodgers would do it. I'm not saying he'd tell his girlfriend. I'm not saying she'd tell her mother, you know, that kind of thing. But that's why they don't tell anybody. They don't tell them. They don't tell them. And season is snit. After playing there for all those years, Luke is shaking his head. Luke likes Rodgers. I like Rodgers, Luke. I like Rodgers. I like Brett Favre better, frankly. He pulled the same baloney. Are you defending Rodgers?
I've said my piece on this, Matt. You know where I stand. I think come fall, Rodgers is going to be taking snaps under center. We're going to be fine.
Okay. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. We need it. He can do it. He is the man. But he's in a snit. To say, well, unless you fire Brian Gutekunst, you know, unless you get rid of the guy, hey, you know, guy doesn't come into the company and say fire the president or, you know, the CFO. He doesn't do that. Who the heck does he think he is? Play football. Take a snap. Be like Brett Favre. He loved to play. Be like Tom Brady. He loves to play. This guy is languid. He's extremely languid. Very, very languid. Okay, coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins. Great commentary from Luke. This is coming to the end of the show. Matt Flynn Direct back same time, same place tomorrow. Matt Flynn Direct signing off. And we will stand up in the world.